Good morning. Welcome back, folks. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. Frankly Speaking Radio, we call it. Welcome to all of you listening on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org, the only officially sanctioned website of the network. And, of course, our site, franklyspeakingradio.com. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Let's get back to Jeff in Arkansas. Jeff, you still with me?
Oh, yeah.
Very good. One of the things I wanted to bring up is if you look at a lot of the research, and there's quite a bit of it out there that coincides with some of this stuff. Patrick Heron has written a book called Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, and many other people have also cited the same research, not about the pyramids and all that stuff specifically, but rather focusing on the year that that Christ was supposedly born. Most of us think of it as the year either one or zero, depending on how you term that to be. But some evidence actually suggests that it would be about the year three that he was born, which means, in essence, that it's not 2007, my friend. It is actually 2010 as we speak.
So there's
a lot of this going on where we have to consider some things that maybe we've never thought of before, which is if the calendar is accurate, and again, the Mayan calendar deemed to be the most accurate calendar ever created, what better way to throw people off who are concerned about the year 2012 than to just sort of bump it along a little further? You know, like people who set the clocks in their house ahead, so that way they know they have more time. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, no, I'm going to be late for work. Oh, I set the clocks ahead 20 minutes. You know what? Something like that. So in essence, if something were to happen on 2012, then technically that, you know, maybe, again, it depends. There's some wiggle room there. Was there a year zero? What did it automatically start with one? Whatever the case may be. If it's technically 2010, then that means, you know, come around the legitimate 2012 time, everyone's going to be looking further into the future and say, oh, yeah, well, 2012 is just a couple years away. That's fine. We'll worry about it then. Whereas, in essence, we've got, 3.5 years. So, you know, people need to pay close attention to all that stuff. And again, is it a cause to worry? I don't think so. I don't know where you're at with faith, my friend, but I am certainly, it's the only thing that sustains me. So I don't worry about these things. You know, all things are made perfect in God. So, you know, whatever happens is what's supposed to happen. And if we're squared away, if we have a firm foundation to stand on, we'll stand just fine.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the call, my friend, and certainly the topic is of high interest to me. And, it, you know, if I knew any guest that really had some good content about that year and about some of the predictions and whatnot, everything I've ever heard has been relatively vague. I want some hardcore stuff. I want to know exactly what's going to go down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the Pentagon Climate Report seems to be about the most intriguing thing along the lines of sort of end-of-the-world type of phenomena, you know? So that, to me, has always been really a fascinating thing.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir, very much. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the subject matter. And again, folks, you know, I think it's an excellent point that he brings up, which is, of course, you know, what have people thought about it? Now, I've talked to a lot of people. In fact, I was talking to a guy today. He said, you know, for the most part, your show has scared a lot of people, you know, and sometimes they don't want to be scared. Well, you know, then that's up to them to find their sort of safety line to a certain extent. I could point it out and say, hey, this particular safety rope works really well for me. Maybe you choose to grab it and maybe you choose not to. That's their choice. And you know, I don't begrudge them whatever they decide to do. But I don't worry about that stuff. Look, we could go ahead and do that whether you're worried about the end of the world, you're worried about 2012, you're worried about terrorism, you're worried about natural disaster, you're worried about disease. Do what you can to prepare for these things, and then just give the rest to God. Just have some faith and trust in it. Don't put your whole life on hold in the event of a just-in-case sort of thing, right? It's like the Cuban Missile Crisis. We heard the stories about the people who sold everything they had and just said, let's go party before the end of the world, or Y2K, for example, same thing. I mean, dates and times are fine if they're accurate, but again, predictions are predictions, and they could be true and they could not be. It just depends. Stay with us. We'll be back in three.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine, Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. Let's get to Jimmy in Louisiana. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, hi, Frank.
How you doing?
All right, man. Really enjoy your show, and I'm enjoying your new hours, too.
Thank you.
I'm a night person, so I catch most of your show, whereas before I hardly caught any.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to hear you on shortwave, too.
Well, it's nice to be here, my friend. I'll be honest with you. I mean, shortwave is something I didn't have a whole lot of experience with, and everyone said, oh, shortwave's really a fantastic way to get the word out. And when I was on mornings, I remember I actually did this for like 2 weeks straight. I said, listen, if you're listening on shortwave, call into the show and let me know. And I think I got 7 calls in 2 weeks, none of whom wanted to come on the air. And I thought, well, gosh, they're not, the shortwave crowd, they're not contributing to the show at all. They want to listen, but they don't want to interact. And, obviously, you guys at night, far, far, far superior shortwave listening audience. And maybe that has to do with the time and the reception and things like that. But either way, man, I couldn't be happier with being on shortwave, especially WWCR. They've just been fantastic to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have great guests, too. I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you so much.
In fact, that's why I'm calling. Mm-hmm. Around February 14th, you had a guest on that was talking about the Tavistock Institute.
Yes.
And I've been trying to find that archived program because I wanted to listen to that again, and I haven't able to track it down. Was that February? Do you remember the exact date of that?
Absolutely not. I don't have my calendar in front of me. It's currently at home as I was doing bookings for next week, and I had it there. I don't recall offhand who exactly that was. It may have been a guest by the name of John Thomas Millerott talked about the different sort of Masonic influence in movies and music and things like that, secret societies, Luciferianism, things of that nature, in which case he did mention about Tavistock. I've had another guest on who's also talked about it a little bit more. His name's Ted Tweetmeyer, which he's talked about it in terms of various things like mind control and various programs that they've been involved with. Do you have I assume you have internet access. Have you checked it out at all, Tavistock?
Well, yeah, I went to their homepage, and it was really a nice-looking professional website.
It's very slick. Sure.
I didn't really dig into it that much.
You could obviously their site is going to have some information, but it's all going to be, you know, probably allusions, meaning allusions with an A, you know, to various things, and not actually any real content. But you know, you could look in other places as well. Perhaps Wikipedia might have something on it. Of course, they'll call it crazy conspiracy theory stuff, but I think there's enough evidence out there if you know where to look. But, yeah, JT, I think we probably have his contact info on our website in the guest section, in which case you could look it up.
Who was the first one again?
John Thomas Millerott, JT Millerott. And you could look up there. Usually Webmaster James is... He's very much more organized about this stuff than I am. In fact, you could probably send him an email and ask him specifically. But I'm pretty sure we have JT's email address somewhere on our website in the guest section, in which case you could probably shoot him an email and say, hey, look, I want to learn more about Tavistock. Where can I go? The other one was Ted Tweetmeyer.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a book out about, it's called What NASA Isn't Telling You About Mars. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it goes through point by point. He went through like 10,000 photographs from the Mars rovers and identified a bunch of different anomalies, things. And this is from NASA's own imagery. I mean, this is not stuff he photoshopped or anything. But, you know, and then he goes through and picks it apart and says, well, this looks like this and compares to this, and this has this on it, and so on and so forth. But he is well-versed in a variety of different things, and he was the first one to ever point me in the direction of Tavistock Institute. So
I was primarily interested in the control they had over the music industry.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
The Beatles especially. And, you know, because they were such incredible songwriters, you know, it seemed to me that they were stars on their own without the help of some, you know, organization such as that.
Yeah, the music industry is such a bizarre thing. You know, because I've been in the commercial side of radio for the last 14 years, you know, I've seen it come and go. I've dealt with a lot of record representatives and industry executives, and you know, for the most part, well, I trust them just like I trust a politician for the most part. Most of the time, they're happy to help you out with various things, depending on if you'll do something for them. So, you know, and that's fine and dandy. I understand the give and take of you know, business. That's fine. But at the same time, most musicians that you speak with who have any sort of experience with that will tell you that for the most part, the record company, well, obviously when you first sign onto a label, you know, they have incredible amounts of control over you, over your product, over your songs, over your royalties, everything like that. And of course, back in the early days of American radio, they had a, you know, big controversy about a thing called payola plugola, which is you know, various record companies, you know, sliding people big, huge amounts of cash to spin songs, because that's how they did it. It's a little more slick these days, but it's more or less kind of the same process. But what I'm getting at is that the record, if you talk to the artists, they'll say the record industry told us we shouldn't have released this song, and we insisted on it. They let us have it, and they were right. Or the record industry told us we really should have pursued a different sort of artwork for our album, and they were right. They do know their business. Now, if they know their business because of a variety of different factors that we don't understand, as in triggers and mind control things and things that are going to tap into it, or they just really do have their finger on the pulse of society, you know, it's debatable. I don't know. It could be a combination of both. It could also be the fact that they can convince you of anything if you pay attention to all the right mediums. For example, TV shows and movies and things like that. If you only travel in entertainment-oriented circles and only read their periodicals, you know, they'll tell you exactly what movies you need to see and shows you need to watch and different things like that. And after a while, it just becomes so ingrained in your subconscious, the names of the artists or the names of the films or the names of the actors, that it just becomes a virtual kind of mind control. So you'd say that, it'd factor all that in and say, is it possible that an organization that says government affiliations can take a band and lift them up to make them become the greatest band in the world and utilize that to to draw in their fans, their followers? And the answer, of course, is absolutely yes. Now, could it be done otherwise? Yeah, I think so. But I would say this, too, that you know, if you look at the artists who are out there, especially, and obviously you're a music fan, but if you look at the artists who are out there, there are very, very few who are doing it their way on their own terms. And these are people who have very, they're hard to find, but they're usually just absolutely superior songwriters, and they're not very commercialized.
That's what I was going to say. They're probably not big time.
Exactly.
The garage bands.
Sure. And if you think about, I mean, here's another little interesting thing. And again, we're getting into some pop culture things that some people may not recognize, but if you think about this, you look at Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. All three of those people were child stars, you know, in the music business because they were all in the Mickey Mouse Club. Okay, so they were like Mouseketeers in essence.
Oh, yeah.
And they all have grown up, if that's what you want to call it, and basically at various points in their careers have sort of lost their mind. It makes you wonder, how much control are we talking about here? What is the point and purpose of these individuals being lifted up to do what they do? Now, I'm not going to say that they're not talented. They're all talented, but they're also all very they're very well put together. I don't know if you've ever seen American Idol. Probably not if you have taste in music, so good for you.
Never.
But the gist of the show, and I've never seen an episode myself, but I do watch the news, and I do read magazines and newspaper articles, so there's enough of that in there where I can get the gist of it. The point of the show is to craft not just the music, but the image. So, yes, they want somebody that can sing, but they want somebody who looks good, who will sell albums. They want somebody who's maybe sexy but not sleazy, somebody who's got a powerful voice but has a good range. You know, they try to come up with everything, which is why, you know, you don't see a whole lot of winners out there who look like trolls. You know, it's like, oh, well, this guy's got three arms and six eyeballs, but damn, he can sing. You know, they're like, no, we can't have you because you are not marketable.
Mm-hmm.
And that just goes into the whole thing. It's about the product. And I'll tell you this, too, in all honesty. Being in radio for 14 years, I have felt what that has been like, to be a commodity, where it's not you, it's not what you're creating, it's what you represent as the person. And it's been used against me, and it's been used in my favor as well, you know, in various forms. And that's fine, and I understand that, because the point is I still have the platform. So there has to be, you know, any musician out there who wants to do something, or even radio host to a certain extent, there are rules and boundaries and different sort of areas that you stay within, and you don't usually go out. Sometimes you can straddle the line, maybe even cross it briefly, but you certainly don't, you know, do a long jump over that line. And this is something I've had to battle with in my career for a long time, because I've, as you know, if you've heard me talk on the show before, I've been fired from every radio job I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not really good at it's following rules. And I need to have a certain amount of creative control, not total control. I defer to the various bosses on certain issues if I see their point, but it has to be explained to me. I've never been just a good order follower. I have to have everything contextualized for me. And sometimes I realize that they may have been right, and I did it anyway. But the point is that I have to be able to close my eyes at night and say that I'm happy with what I've accomplished and what I've done. And I think for some of these musicians, it's a real struggle. I think that you do see a lot of people sort of escaping into drugs, alcohol, a variety of different things as an escapism, so they don't have to face up to the realities of what they've become, what they've been turned into, what they've been created into, the perception being, as opposed to what they had dreamed about.
And it sort of lends credence to what Jesus said about what does it gain a person to gain the world but lose his soul.
Yes, well said. That's a fantastic analogy, and it couldn't be more appropriate.
These people just go off the edge when they have everything in the world.
That's right, because you've achieved something, but you've lost whatever it was that has driven you to want it in the first place. And that, my friend, is the best example of compromise. You know, there's always room to wiggle. But there are certain lines that you as an individual should not cross, certain things you don't compromise. Do you have your integrity? Is whatever it is that drew you into something to follow a road, that passion, that fire, that love, is it still there? Hang on, we're back in three.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, our open line hour here, 800-313-9443. Let's get back to Jimmy in Louisiana. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, I was just really amazed. I mean, it just totally took me aback whenever I was exposed to that information that the phenomena of the 60s, that whole movement of the 60s.
How controlled and manufactured it was?
May have been, yeah, controlled by these secret societies.
It's amazing.
I always thought it was just happening, you know. You always heard about the happenings that were taking place that just happened.
Yeah.
You know, people just happened to be in a certain place and things happened. And that's what I thought it was. It was just a magical thing. But
I think on a certain level
it may have been some of that,
yeah.
But initially it must have been set into motion by these secret societies to reach a certain end.
Yeah, or you could make the argument that it was co-opted because it had so much potential.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't think, and I should clarify this, I don't want this to be a reason for people to not enjoy their favorite bands or movies or TV shows or whatever. I mean, that's fine and dandy, but just, you know, identify for what it is. You can still appreciate it for a variety of different reasons just 'cause,
sure.
You know, and any musicians will tell you that. Let's say you write a song and it's about this old crappy place you used to live in with peeling wallpaper. And it, that's all it means. But to somebody who hears that, they're like, oh, my God, that's a metaphor for my life. Well,
yeah.
Good for you. You know, you get something good out of something that was relatively pointless. There's nothing wrong with that. And I also want to point out, I believe during that show we got a call from a guy who said, everybody knows this already.
Yeah, so, I remember that.
Yeah, well, obviously that was not the case.
No, I totally enjoyed it, and I'm trying to find it so I can listen to the show again.
Oh, okay. Well, I would absolutely contact the webmaster. I know there are people. Have you been to our website at all?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there should be links to various. There are various listeners out there who have been archiving shows for a while, and they've posted things. And there should be something there. I don't know particularly, but you can always shoot me an email, and I'll see what I can do to dig up some information and see if we can't find more of that for you.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whether it be Tavistock or just links to the shows and things like that. Because this is, I think the main thing here is you've got the powers that be, and you know, there are so many different angles and so many different assaults on us coming from all these different sides that, they obviously have people that just out there to watch. And they watch and they monitor things. They monitor TV. They monitor shows, you know, like this one and whatnot. And at some level, they try to get in there and co-opt you. They try to say, well, here's something that has some potential. Here's something that could be big. Let's get in there and let's infiltrate it. And, of course, they can approach the host. And I'll be honest with you, Jimmy. I've been approached by several different groups who wanted me to join. Secret societies and different things like that. And we've talked about some of that on the show. But I think it's been three times that they've tried to recruit me into various things. And I've turned them down flat every time because they have nothing to offer me. See, that's the thing, is that they're kind of baffled when you don't want something that they think you want. And that's what I've said. This has never been my dream to be
a
radio.
You're doing okay on your own, I think.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But that's how they try to do. And so for somebody who's a musician and their dream has been identified with success. Success has been identified with, you know, multi-million, records sold and whatnot. It might be fairly deep temptation for them, and they might go along with it. So, you know, I agree with you. I do think that there's magic in all that, and I don't mean magic like evil magic. I mean that there's something special in people who can create things, music and pictures, artwork, film, all that stuff, you know, because it's their vision. Authors who write just fantastic books.
Well, it goes back to the creative spirit.
Absolutely.
Involved, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt, man. And I think that there's nothing wrong with enjoying and appreciating it because, again, it's like the scriptures, for example. When I read a scripture, I instantly, because I'm reading it, I'm relating it to me. How does this fit into my life? How does this fit into my experiences? And same thing for you. It's the same thing with a song. You hear a song, it may not be anything about what the artist intended it to mean, but it means something to you, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure. I've even heard artists say that they'll be singing a song and it'll take on a completely new meaning, and it's their song that they wrote years ago.
But it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Really appreciate you, brother.
Hey, Jimmy, vice versa, my friend. Thanks for the call, brother.
You bet.
Fantastic stuff.
I was going to tell you, how far are you from the Buffalo National River?
Pretty close. I couldn't give you a mileage, but I don't know. I'm geographically impaired, okay? I have several kryptonites. One is math, and the other one is geography. I'm just an idiot when it comes to directions. I can go somewhere 20 times and forget how to get there. I guess I just lose space. But it's fairly close. I've been there. I've been camping there before.
Yeah.
And hiking. But it's fairly close. Have you been?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be
beautiful.
Doing some work up there this summer.
Oh,
I was just curious. Yeah.
Well, let me know, and maybe we can get together and have some lunch or something.
Sure, and float the canoe.
There you go.
The river floats there.
It's always an excuse. I don't need much of an incentive to get outside and enjoy the weather. It's beautiful here in Arkansas, and I love being outside. So
Now that you've got the days off, you can do that, huh?
That's true. We'll see if John will cut me loose, maybe let me have a day off or something, but we'll see. But, Jimmy, thank you, brother. God bless, and keep in touch and keep digging. You'll find everything you wanted and a lot of stuff you didn't want, but that doesn't mean you should ever stop with the searching, folks. That's what we do, ladies and gentlemen. We seek, not just here on the show, but in everything that we do, and that's what makes us grow. Stay with us. Back with more Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. We got about 25 minutes left in the program. We've been taking some calls and everything. You're more than welcome to weigh in with your thoughts on things. 800-313-9443. I'd like to sort of expand on what we were talking about there with Jimmy, because I think it is such an important point, which is about the creative spirit. You know, where does it come from? What is it for? When you hear, for example, in the scriptures, the parable of the talents, I think that, you know, there's multi-pronged meanings to that. But what I take out of it is not just talents as a form of currency, but talents as gifts that you've been given. So how do you spend those gifts? Do you simply play it safe and go and bury it somewhere? Or do you go and you invest those gifts and you try to have a return? Something by which you can, you know, show to your father and say, here's what I've been able to accomplish with what you've given me. Here's what I have done with what I've been given. And that, to me, is such an important point on many levels, because every one of us has something that we like to do. Maybe it's a hobby, okay? Maybe it's something, you know, just a personal level, maybe like scrapbooking. You do it for you, or you do it for the family. You know, maybe you're not doing it to hold it out there for anybody else. You should still do it. You know, you get a certain sense of peace and accomplishment when you utilize the gifts that you've been given, whatever they may be, and for whatever purpose you're doing that. And what I'm saying to you is this. It's not simply a stress reliever, I guess you could say, right? It's something that you have to do for your own sanity, because you've been built that way. It's something that you're supposed to do. It's something that God has given you. He has blessed you with this. And how are you doing it? What are you doing with it? Okay? Now, see, I like to do radio. Don't get me wrong. It's just never been my giant ambition. It's never been my great dream. And that doesn't mean that I'm unhappy or unsatisfied. I do seem to keep continuing to get drawn back into radio. It's like a black hole, you know, for the most part. And that's fine and dandy. But what I'm saying is that if this is what God would have me do, that's fine. I'll do it. I will happily do it in any way, shape, or form that I can, if that's what He wants from me. And I, you know, that's up to me. I have to decide if I'm being truly led in this direction, or if it's just my own sort of misconceptions and you know, being bad at translating of sorts God's plan for me, screwing it all up and saying, I guess He wants me to be in radio, so I'll go be in radio. I don't necessarily think that that's the case. But then again, it's like I'm not deluding myself, because I'm not saying this is something that I've always wanted, so surely it's something God wants for me. No, and I've had to give up on some things before. That doesn't mean that I've lost the love for them, or that I've lost the enjoyment I get out of doing these things. Just various things. And I like to be creative. I do a lot of different things. At some point, it actually gets to be maybe overwhelming, because there are so many things that I enjoy doing. As far as creating stuff, that it just, you know, it's almost like, what do I choose? You know, when you sit down to eat, you know, at, let's say at a restaurant or something, you've got, let's say, one thing on the menu, you're going to get tired of eating it. You get two things, yeah, you got a choice there. It's fairly easy. But when you've got hundreds of things, now I'm not saying I'm gifted in hundreds of areas. I'm saying just enough to keep me, you know, sort of, oh, this week I'm going to focus on this, and this week I'm going to focus on that. It's just about being creative, and you know, I admire people who just have that tunnel vision sort of focus, that laser focus on one issue. This is the one thing they've always wanted to do, and they will do nothing else, and they won't hear anything about it. It kind of has to do with being young, okay, being a kid, because kids are relatively fearless, and you know this, and you've all seen it, and you probably were like this too at some level. When you were young, you don't worry about getting hurt, for example, and you go play sports, and guess what? You don't think about getting hurt, and guess what? You don't get hurt. And if you do, maybe, you know, there's a purpose for it, of course. Well, definitely there's a purpose for it. But what I'm saying is that it's just not a concept you think of. And when you start pursuing something like that may inevitably become a career, it's done so fearlessly. And part of that is because of youth, the innocence of a child, also mentioned a lot in the Bible. That there's something to that. It's a complete and total faith issue. Now, you may not say that you're pursuing something simply because you feel that you've been spiritually destined by God to pursue that particular thing. But you have been given an affinity for something. You have been given talent at something, and you've been given that for a purpose. And that purpose is to go out there and do something with it. And as you grow and as you develop and as you walk down that road, maybe you'll come to the conclusion that your enhancement of this ability, your gifts, your blessings that you've been given, your talent, okay, has been given to you there by God, and you can use it to glorify Him, or you can use it to simply gain things, materialistic things. And I've always been that way. When I played sports, I remember asking people, what do you want to do this for? Why do you play? And And because I played ice hockey is a whole different animal. A lot of people, especially down south here, they don't really understand it too much. There's a passion for it that doesn't exist in other sports for the most part. And I'm not going to say all sports because you could, you know, there are some people who are going to say that chess is a sport. And I'm not saying that doesn't require some skill, but athletic ability probably not so much. What I'm saying, though, is that when you look at people who are maybe pursuing basketball or football or baseball, a lot of times they're doing it because they want to go pro, but they want to go pro because they want to make a lot of money. And that's fine. If that's what drives you, that's what drives you. Now, that's you, and I'm different, I guess, and a lot of people are different. Hockey, for the most part, if you play ice hockey, you know, league minimum in ice hockey is far less than what a lot of people make in just regular jobs. They don't pay a whole lot. And I always wanted to play pro hockey, and I actually had a chance. I had a tryout schedule with a professional team, and I didn't go. I didn't go because I was a mess, because I'd been physically just beaten so badly. And I don't mean like in fights and all that, but I did get in fights. But what I mean is that just the constant stress and strain on my body is just, it got to a point where I didn't know if I could do it anymore. Now, granted, I didn't know back then all the things I know now, like the energy cleaner and the Madeira and the bioelectrifier and the carrot juice and the super silver and all the fantastic things that I know about now that keep me healthy and have allowed me to become stronger, more focused on things, more intelligent about the way things work, clear-headed, and also, of course, in better shape, because as your health improves, you can also grow in that regard. So I'm in the best shape now. I probably would be a far better athlete now than I was back then. But back then, it was purely on love of the game. It was because I loved to play the game. I loved the competition. There was everything about it that I loved. But what I'm saying to you is this, basically, that it was a different motivator than some people have. And some people played it just because it was an interesting pastime. Oh, I got a couple extra nights a week, and I thought I'd just go play some sports. I played it for the love of the game. And for hockey players, you're going to see that a lot, which is why, you know, I mentioned about playing injured and said that to our caller that if you're familiar with hockey, you know how it works. You go out there and you play it because you love it. And if you get injured, you just stay in the game. You know, anybody who's ever watched a pro game will see it. You'll see somebody get all their teeth knocked out. They stick some gauze in there, and they sit on the bench till the bleeding stops, till it clots up, and they get back out there. They go in to the bench, and they get stitched up, and they're right back on the ice. Or they got a bone that's broken, and they'll get it bandaged up, and they'll be right back out there because it's the love of the game. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that plays ice hockey does it because of a love of the game, but what I'm saying is that most hockey players don't achieve fame, unless you live in Canada. They don't achieve huge amounts of money, although that does happen on occasion. And, you know, whatever the case may be, it's a different mentality, okay? And this is something that I've had that's driven me in other things, too. Music as well. When I played music, I don't like performing. I don't mean performing music. I mean performing like a trained monkey or something. In radio, same thing. I mean, I'm doing things that are contrary to my likes, in essence. You know, here I am talking on a globally syndicated radio program to God knows who about God knows what. And I'm just talking. I'm talking about me, okay? But I'm not seeing all of you out there. It'd be completely different if it was a stage. There's a big podium and a microphone. I'd still would tell you all these things. I just wouldn't feel comfortable being up there. Once I got going, it'd be fine. Same thing with playing sports or playing music. You know, you're so focused on what you're doing, you don't pay attention to the crowd necessarily. You get lost. And it's that sort of total immersion in something you love. It takes you to that other level. It takes you to a place that it's not easily described except by anybody who's ever done something that they loved and something maybe they had some skill at. You know, and that's kind of all of that ties in with what Jimmy was calling in about, which was about, you know, people who play music and who have some degree of influence. See, if you're a celebrity in some regard because you're a movie star or whatnot, you can always be, you're always going to have fans. You're going to, and you can be co-opted. They can get in there and they can influence you. Same thing with music. And that's what we talked about, the Beatles and Tavistock and different sort of the whole music movements. Now, the things that are popular, in music, like really, really, really popular at the time, they don't tend to last. It's just like a fast flare-up, and then it burns out quick. And then there are some people out there who have more or less, you know, stuck to their convictions. And these are the artists, these are the musicians, the songwriters, the singers, the bands that have endured over time. They've constantly changed the different things that they do. They do things differently because they realize that the music I'm putting out now here in this era is going to change because I myself, the person creating the music, and this is them talking, I will change, I will grow, I will adapt, I will evolve, I will become a different person 10 years from now than I am here. So that means that music has to change with me. And it's interesting, too, when you see a lot of musicians who maybe start out with one sort of gimmick, you know, and then how do they change from there? You know, do they just change their hair color and put a different bass line in the background or a different drum beat? The drum machine's, you know, on setting one, and they change it to setting two, but it's kind of the same song. Those people never last. And all these trends and the fads and stuff like that, I love watching them. Because they're very transparent to me. Again, being in the radio music industry for 14 years has given me a, maybe you could say, a jaded perspective. But I see these things become super popular, and I know what it is. It's the marketing of it. I know how that works. I know what the agenda is. I know advertising, and I know marketing, and I know promotions. And that's what it's about. These are flashes in the pan. And these are the kind of bands and whatnot that people will never admit to going to see them in concert. They'll never admit to owning the CDs or the records or 8-tracks or cassettes, if you prefer. So, you know, you have to look at it, and what's the agenda there? And it's taking somebody that, I don't know, maybe they've got, I'm sure they have skill and all that, and they clamp down on them, and they say, we are going to use you as something to generate something. And we're gonna style your hair, and we're going to pick out your clothes, and we're going to do your makeup, and we're going to you know, do this, and this is how we want your video to go, and this is how we want the song to be produced, and this is what we're trying to accomplish. That's why music goes in these patterns. So they get the people out there who fit that paradigm that they're trying to do, and they co-opt them to a certain extent. And then they, you know, the rest of the music industry kind of follows suit. They say, well, you know, they've got, you know, these 20 bands out here are just, they're selling millions of records, and they're making lots of money. And this is music that, you know, I like, so I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go ahead and do my hair the same way, or my makeup the same way. I'm going to pick clothes out that are the same way, or I'm going to record the same style of music. But it's not natural. And there's always something that's out of grasp for those people. It's right beyond their reach. And that's because they're not being true to themselves. And that's why when you look at the really, really gifted songwriters and just artists in general, whatever it is they're trying to create, they're doing it on their own. And, you know, they may hit and they may miss, but they're always, always, always happy with what they put into it. And you have to have that joy, okay? Because the other stuff doesn't last. It's they're clown shoes, folks. That's all it is. This idea of success as being defined by whatever it is that you define it as is merely what it has been constructed to be in your mind. And we mentioned that here in America, the two greatest fears, poverty and death. So you translate that and say, what's the opposite of fear? Which is, you know, desire, I guess, something you strive for rather than something you run away from. You run towards this, and then you'd say success, which would be, of course, lots of money. That's how I equate success, they would say. So as a result of lots of money, you can say, well, money cures illnesses. Money cures disease because I have money to go to the best doctors and get the best treatment and things like that. And you would say, well, money will buy you out of your way of out of a conviction or any sort of problems with the law or anything like that. This is where it needs to be. I got to have money in order for everything else to fall into place. So they're constantly reaching for that, and maybe they'll achieve it, but they may acquire the money or the fame or the fortune, whatever it is that they're trying to achieve, but everything else will fall by the wayside because they have tunnel vision. You know, and people will talk about that, the power of positive thinking. There is absolutely something to that, without a doubt. But what you have to ask yourself is what is driving you down that road? If you have laser focus on one thing, I think that's impressive when anybody can do that. You will achieve it. And that's fantastic for you. But the question is did you get what you thought you were getting? Once you get it, how do you feel about it? And I remember reading an interview with a guy who was like a multi-millionaire, billionaire or something. He's relatively unknown here in this country, but he's pretty well known, I guess, in some circles or, across the pond and whatnot. And he was saying, yeah, look at all the stuff I've achieved. Look at how great I am. And he was very, very happy, but also very honest about it. And he said, anyone can do this. It just has to be the first priority in your life, number one. And in the course of this really, really intriguing interview, he mentions about various things, about all the marriages and relationships that fell apart, all the other things that fell by the wayside because they were not priority number one. So in your mind, when you're making that focus, you have to make a sacrifice. You've been given gifts. You've been given talents. You've been given motivation, drive, opportunity. And if you achieve realization of that, using all these things, is it going to be what you really wanted? And that's something a lot of people have to ask themselves. And it's not just people who are trying to be famous or whatever. Whatever it is you're trying to achieve, for whose glory are you trying to do this? Because that will inevitably change the result a little bit. Stay with us. We'll be back to wrap up the show here in 3 minutes.
Attention, attention everyone, a brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here with us. It's Friday morning, and I got a few minutes left here in the show. I've kind of been waxing philosophical for the last 40 minutes or so, and I apologize for that. But, you know, you have to understand something, that for me, when I do something, I have to do it for whatever it is I'm passionate about. And again, that's kind of been the whole theme of this, is what drives you? And again, for what purpose? So I do this for a lot of reasons. I do it because I love the truth, because it's like an addiction. When you get a little bit of it, you want to have more. And as a result of that, honesty, I think, has to come into play. There are a lot of different people out there, and certainly in this line of work, who, you know, they use different names on the air than their real name, or they craft a style of broadcasting that that is like, in essence, a wall. It puts that wall up there, so that way they have a certain amount of anonymity, a certain amount of sanity. They can walk away from stuff like that. I've never been good at that. You know, I've in anything I've done, I've always kind of wore my heart on my sleeve. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, because I think that if you understand sort of what motivates me and what drives me, then you'll understand maybe more about the show and about why it matters to me, and why the content matters, and why you guys matter to me. It's and I'm not like this, I guess, in all areas. You know, when I meet people and all that stuff, people come to whenever I'm out doing something, and I'll, you know, appearances and things like that, what we do, people come up and talk to me, and that's great, and I love it. I do love it. But here in this format, there's no walls. It's just me. And obviously, there's some things I'm going to keep to myself. I don't involve family and friends and things like that. And I'll just say, hey, I talked to somebody, but I'm not going to tell you who it was. But what I'm getting at here is why all this happens, and why people can achieve anything they want. You just have to prioritize and figure out what it is that you want, and you focus on it. And again, you know, some people in radio want to be celebrities. They want to be stars. They want to be famous. They want to be rich. They want to be able to make phone calls and get free stuff and all that. And that's fine and dandy. It's not why I do it. I do it simply because I feel like God has led me in this direction, and I do it because this is what He is telling me to do. It's an obedience lesson. If you think of, and I've mentioned this before, if you read Exodus in the Bible, you've got Moses, okay, and God tells him, hey, go talk to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And then Pharaoh's going to say, Moses, stick it. And then you're going to say, okay. And then you come back here and you tell me what Pharaoh said, which is exactly what I just told you he was going to say, but go do it anyway. And Moses says, okay. And he goes and he does this. And then the one time he's disobedient, of course, he pays the price. He can't get into the land of milk and honey and what all the, you know, all the other stuff. You know the story. I don't think it's a story of freeing the people. It's a story of obedience. It's a story of reliance upon God. Look at the Israelites. They had manna. Okay? It came down from heaven every day. And they could eat what they wanted. But they couldn't save it. You know, the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. Something to that, folks. It's about total reliance upon God. Each and every day. Not worrying about the future. Just saying, day by day, I know you're going to take care of me. And what do we do for Him in return? Anything we can. Because you have been given talents. You've been given gifts. You've been given abilities. And you've been given passion for things. So use them. Use them correctly. Or you'll be greatly disappointed. And probably end up, you know, one of those, well, like in the music industry, the examples we've used so many times, you'll be the hair metal band from the 80s that are still touring little podunk towns and bars and whatnot and charging $2 a ticket rather than, you know, the $800 you used to be able to command when you're at the heyday of your spandex and hairspray. So whatever you do, my friends, do it well and do it for the right reasons. And this concludes our program. We'll see you in 20 hours.